Hey guys, welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I want to greet my friends, those of you who are with us pretty regular. Some of you are even partners with us in prayer and in finances, and others may be wandering in here for the first time. We meet here every single day, and we bring to you the Deeper Daily Podcast as we go deeper through the Word of God. Specifically right now, we're in the book of Romans, and we're in the fourth chapter. I gave you a little challenge yesterday. Also, I ended yesterday a little abrupt. I'm still learning how I'm going to do this format without an intro and an outro tag, so I might try to do a little bit better today. Romans 4:2, and we compare that to James 2:21. Let's read them side by side. Here's Romans. If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. James 2:21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? I want to start by saying that I think we hurt our credibility a little bit as Bible scholars when we don't admit that the writers of the New Testament were learning as they go. And the reason I think we hurt our credibility is we try to take what appear to be contradictions of theology and we try to preach them out of their context, their time, their author, their intent, and get them to line up with an ideology that we have about everybody in the New Testament all on the same page. And there is a tension there because we know that we believe that these writers were inspired of the Holy Spirit. So how could there be any tension, any conflict, any contradiction? Wouldn't the Holy Spirit be working against himself? Well, I will admit that I think that is a valid argument. I think that if there are contradictions of theology in which we're going to damage redemption, you got to think the Holy Spirit works as sort of a goalie to keep those from being put into the scriptures. At the same time, there are all kinds of contextual instructions and commands that are flat out not applicable to us. For example, Paul's admonition or warning in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you're not married, don't seek to get married. And he said, the times aren't good for it. You'd be better off not to be. Well, there's a context there. They were facing the judgment of AD 70. They wouldn't have called it the judgment of AD 70, but they knew they were in the end of the age. And Paul was trying to spare them a lot of physical grief. Now, if you turned around and preached 1 Corinthians 7 today, you'd be preaching it completely out of context, and you'd also be wasting your breath because it's not an instruction from God for people to not get married. In fact, you could even stretch that analogy and say, Paul told Timothy that in the last days they would forbid to marry. Was Paul forbidding to marry? No. Based upon his context, he was recommending you not. But he said that there were going to come those that said you flat out could not and still consider yourself a Christian. So there was a tension between what Paul was preaching and what Paul was warning against. So we've got to really look at the theme and thought of the New Testament through that lens. So when Paul says that Abraham, in Romans 4:2, if Abraham was justified by works, he'd have something to boast about, but not before God. He's saying if Abraham is justified by what he does, he would be able to brag. But the problem is, he just told us at the end of chapter 3, there is no boasting. And this is why he transitions into Abraham. Because if you're not able to boast, if boasting is not allowed because it's justification by faith, he says, then where does Abraham fit in? He would have something to brag about if he was justified by faith. So Paul uses the scripture to support his argument. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and that was counted to him for righteousness, imputed, credited, reckoned. So it's Abraham's belief. So what about James's statement of James 2:21? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? I want to deal with the apparent contradiction first. Well, James is the first letter written in the New Testament. He's the oldest of all of the writings of the New Testament. James shows a very thin understanding of God's grace if you will read the 15th chapter of Acts. James gets a revelation. He says the tabernacle of David is being restored, which really means that everybody is allowed to come and into the presence of God. That's what the tabernacle of David is all about. But he doesn't have a good revelation of people being freed from the law. He realizes it doesn't make sense to put Gentiles under the law, but he can't really pull himself away from some form of works. And so James oversees the council in Jerusalem in Acts 15 that comes up with four things that Gentiles ought not do. One of those is don't commit fornication. Most of the rest are dietary. And he sends that letter out with Paul, the same guy that will spend much of his ministry freeing people from those kind of grave clothes. And so there's a growth process that's happening in the early church. I think when James writes his letter, there's a fundamental and a very elementary understanding of God's grace. The book of James is not much about Jesus. Mentions him once in James 2:1. It's not much about grace. It doesn't mention grace much at all, at least charis. It's because James is writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. These are Jews who have come to the faith, but there's an understanding that they need about what that means to walk in the faith. With all of that, you see James trying to bring his Christian Jewish brethren to an understanding of what it means to take a stand. You see, in his day, Jews were given an exemption by the Roman Empire that when you were questioned with who is God, the Jews could say Yahweh. Christians believed that God was Jesus. To say Jesus would get you imprisoned. Jewish Christians would go back to saying Yahweh when questioned so they could avoid persecution. And I think this is in James's mind when he gives this. Now tomorrow I want to give you another possibility, because that's what we're doing, is studying possibilities. Another possibility for where James is going with this argument. And we will see you tomorrow. I want to thank you for joining us on the podcast. The time drifts every day. How long we'll be here? Somewhere around 5 minutes. Today it went a little bit longer than that. We'll see where the Holy Spirit leads us tomorrow. I hope you'll join us then. Go visit us at paulwhiteministries.com. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.